This is the moment of private devotion, so we speak very personally. I speak of your faces. If you will look again at the readings that we had, particularly from the Song of Solomon, as the lover and the beloved meet and rejoice in each other's presence, did you notice the wonderful description? In chapter 4, we read yesterday, verse 1, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as the flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks." And he speaks of the neck. Do you see how the lovers met together are studying each other's faces? The personal encounter of those who love each other, who in consummating their love will cause their lips to touch. And face that has looked on face will kiss. In chapter 5, the same kind of description. Chapter 5, verse 10. "My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh." Again, it is the description of a face that has been studied, that has been looked upon. Of course, faces are very important. It is very likely that most of us this morning spent quite a bit of time looking at our faces. The men would have to shave their hair, and the ladies would prepare their faces. Because when we behold the character of a person, we behold their character through their face. You're watching the expression in the eyes. Of course, when we're talking about preparing our faces, some would talk about the cosmetic kind of preparation. That's not what the beloved here is looking upon. When our Lord beholds our face, he sees character in our faces. It's the light in the eyes, not the shade over the eyelids. It's the discipline in the mouth, not the matching colour of the lipstick. It's the determination in the jaw, not whether it is clean shaven or not. And it's the colour in the cheeks. I see before me some very beautiful faces. Faces whose countenance has been blessed by the Lord. You clearly look well fed and well loved, and the radiance of your face is the glory for the Lord, that he has loved you and looked after you, and the radiance of your countenance is giving back thankfulness. The face registers love. It can't conceal the joy of the spirit. Why, even recognition shows on our faces. But of course, so does fear. So does hatred. so does disgust. This is why the whole of our bodies are covered, except for our hands and our faces. That when you're seeking to know somebody, you take in the general appearance, but then you're watching their face, because upon their face the character is written and the character is being revealed. How terrible it was that the widow woman bereaved and now spurned of her brother-in-law has to take the brother-in-law before the judges in the gate of the city, and being spurned because he would not do his duty by his brother, his sandal is loosed, and the woman must spit in his face. I tell you, you can slap my hand and it will hurt. You can smack my bottom as my father did. It will pain me. But if you smack my face, the wound of that goes beneath the skin to the very heart. Your very presence before people is seen in your face. To spit in a man's face, or to smack a man's face, is to smack his very presence. Did you notice the emphasis of this in Acts chapter 20? We haven't got to the Psalms yet. We shall be getting there quickly enough. Psalm 20 and verse 25. A very moving speech for these people of Ephesus that have now walked to Miletus to see Paul for the last time. The people who learnt the truth at the mouth and the face of the Apostle Paul. Here was the image of the one who brought the gospel to them. And in verse 25 he says, "And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I went about preaching the kingdom shall see my face no more." Of course you know what he means. It's not that now a veil will come over his face. It means that his presence is going from them. The very relationship they had with him through the Word of God and through the fellowship was face to face. And the grief of this parting is that they would see his face no more. You notice the tears coursing down the faces in verse 37. When having prayed, kneeling upon the seashore, they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should behold his face no more. And already the parting is taking place, because now they're kissing his neck. And his face is turned down and is bowed down. The fellowship of face that lightened face is now coursing with tears. It is the time of parting. "Seek ye my face, saith the Lord." This is the great invitation through the psalmist. This is the invitation of God. "Seek ye my face." You've come to stand before the presence of the Lord, so let us turn to Psalm 11. Psalm 11 and verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Long, long way away. Have you the eagle eye to see into heaven? He has the eyes to see you. Notice the psalmist's expression in verse 4. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men. If I want to see everything in this room, I raise my eyelids and raise them wide so that I can see everything. If I wish to focus particularly, you will notice that I half close my eyelids. I don't want to see everything around there. I'm focusing on one face, on one image. Do you realize what the psalmist is saying here? He has seen a facial expression upon the Lord. The opening wide of the eyes, and then the half-closing of the eyes in detailed concentration. Verse 7. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. With eyes wide open, and with eyes in concentrated gaze. How wonderful to behold the face of the Lord. But perhaps the first point of our exhortation is clearly this, that having received the truth of the mouth of the Lord, it is his face that beholds ours, and we now are under his scrutiny and his gaze. And he sees beneath the cosmetic appearance and looks upon the character in our faces. It was the privilege of Moses alone to speak face to face with the Lord. It is not everybody's privilege. Why, it was even denied the high priest. But for the man of God, more humble than any other man, at the dedication of the temple, it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And all Israel might have thought, it's barring his exit and he can't get out. He's trapped in the tabernacle of the Lord. But whereas the hearts of Israel would have trembled in their tent doors, Moses was standing in the Lord's tent door, and it says that the Lord talked with Moses. All the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door, but from the distance of their home. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. The words of Exodus chapter 33, they're well known to you. And so when the Lord would speak to you face to face, that you behold the very face of your Maker, you are being accorded a privilege which is almost unique. Verse 20. Moses desiring to see the glory of the Lord. It is said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord spoke with Moses as a friend, not to strike him dead. And so the physical visage of the face of God had to be withheld even from Moses, that he was not struck dead. But the character and the glory and the presence of God was a very real experience for Moses, and so it may be for us. Psalm 27. We know now that Brother Alfred's favorite psalm is Psalm 116. Well, then I'm going to confess that Psalm 27 is my favorite psalm. And we hope as a result of this weekend and as of later life, you will all find your own favourite psalm. We've already seen the ambition of David in verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. But you notice why he wants to dwell in the house of the Lord. Verse 8. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Observe the structure of those words. See the request, the invitation, seek ye my face. The privilege of such an invitation to behold the face of the Lord. And you notice the answer. It has turned the request into an answer. It has used the same words. Here is the immediate response of the faithful man who has no diversion in life, no other ambition, but exclusively seeks the Lord in his holy temple. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Is there that ready spirit in you and me? In the Lord have we found our lover, in whose face, in whose character, we will delight. In verse 9, David says, hide not thy face far from me. Never take your eyes off me, O Lord. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. His gaze is constantly seeking to behold the face of the Lord. Simeon lived a long life with the promise of the coming Messiah. For him was given the special promise that he would see the face of the Messiah. And being in the Lord's house and in the Spirit, the babe Jesus was brought in. And Simeon recognized that face, the face of a child. Lettest now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And he cradled his Lord in his arms. The light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. This is not a baby that you'll chuck under the chin. This is a baby for before whom all the world will bend the knee. And in the face of this child, Simeon saw the character of all God's salvation. We have seen in one or two instances how the psalmist's words are used in the New Testament. If we turn to Acts chapter 2, we see the apostles using the Psalms as a proof text. Of course, the Apostle Peter here is speaking of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's quoting from Psalm 16. David speaketh concerning him, verse 25, I beheld the Lord always before my face. Here is the secret of the psalmist, that no matter whether he was on the fields with the sheep, he beheld the Lord there in the midst of the fire. Whether he was in battle array, he saw the Lord before him. Whether he was in the council chamber of his palace, he saw the Lord before him. In fact, we have seen this morning that David was in trouble when it was the beautiful form of a woman who replaced the vision of the face of the Lord. For David, these words are now at a discount, because there was lapses when he failed to see the Lord in front of him. This is why you and I are lapsing. That when you enter your school, all you see in front of you is the blackboard. How much better school will be when you can see the Lord in front of you. How when driving to work, you see the Lord in front of you, and not just the crazy things other drivers do. The Lord is there in front. Here is the request, seek ye my face, which means whichever way the Lord moves, you will move to follow him. He is your guide, he is your lead. Thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Who would have believed that the Lord was there at Golgotha? Golgotha, the name of a skull. It had all the marks of a man. You couldn't believe that God would be at Golgotha. There wasn't a flower to mark his presence. But for the Son of God, the Lord was at Golgotha, and he had scripture to prove it. Abraham and Isaac, a father and a son, had come together to this place generations before. And how this scripture would light the face of the Lord Jesus. Many saw the lone figure climbing the hill bearing the cross. Where's his father, they might have said. But the son beheld the face of his father. And father and son, they went, both of them, together. And Genesis says it twice. They went, both of them, together. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. These psalms belong more to Jesus than the mouth that first composed them. These psalms are the Lord's psalms. When the Lord turned and looked on Peter, and face confronted face in the moment of defeat and failure. Not the Lord's, Peter's. The Lord gave his face to Peter. And you don't imagine it was a reproachful look, do you? Was it the eyes wide open? I told you so. Look upon me, Peter. Was it the eyelids half closed? After all you said? Or was it the look of a face of compassion? A face that Peter would never, ever forget for the rest of his life. Seek ye my face. And Peter was going to have to find that face through such a veil of tears, through a heart penetrated deep with rejection and sin. But the face was there to sustain him. And one day very soon, Peter was to behold that face again in all its beauty. Seek his face forevermore. Will you turn very quickly to Matthew chapter 3. We think of those who recently have been baptized, and we look now at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. And Jesus when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. Have you ever seen those two little words before? The heavens were opened to him. Oh, it is recorded, John saw the dove that descended. Yes, many might have seen that. But the heavens were opened unto him. All right, many of you with a Bible have seen that those two words have been omitted by some authorities. So we turn to Mark chapter 1. Because Mark has his own way of making exactly the same point. Mark chapter 1 and verse 10. And straightway coming out of the water, he, Jesus, saw the heavens opened. What did the Lord see? Dare I conjecture what he saw? But wasn't this a moment of intimacy between the Father and the Son? This is my well-beloved Son, in whom my soul delighteth. That was for you and me to hear. But I suggest to you that in the moment of complete committal, when this Son, fulfilling all righteousness, desiring to seek his Father's face, obeyed his Lord's command, and without any demur, thy face, Lord, will I seek, when heaven was opened, I suggest that Father and Son came face to face. As a man speaketh with his son. There are encounters in Scripture when people come face to face, but this is a matchless moment. And you too, when you raise your prayers to God, close your eyes. But never forget, the Lord to whom you pray has his eyes wide open. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, his second epistle and the sixth verse of the fourth chapter, tells the church, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." It's not just a rhapsody produced by the psalmist. It's not just a very nice idea. It is a statement of fundamental faith and fact. That in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, in your weakness you will find his face sustaining you. In the moment of triumph, you will see upon his face the look of pleasure. But in his face, you are beholding the glory to which you are being bidden and called. And the Son of God says, as he came to give his face to sinners, "I hid not my face from shame and spitting." And they plucked off the hair. They would deface the very glory of God. And I was so ashamed. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Is that what's happening to us now? I don't believe so. In Psalm 41, the psalmist, and more truly the Lord, for now the Lord has become the real psalmist. We don't associate the singing of psalms with the Lord Jesus, but the Lord wasn't just singing them, the Lord was living them. This is the life of the Lord in the psalms. It was his own familiar friend in whom he trusted, who did eat of his bread, who lifted up his heel against him. You notice that those who had shared his table, who were privy to his counsel of war, though they had undermined him, the Son of God was not undone. For we read in verse 11, "By this I know that thou delightest in me, because mine enemy does not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever." For the beloved Lord had a closer counselor than the one who betrayed him. For he ever beheld the face of his Father, who would not allow him to be undone. And he will not allow you to be undone either. Be sure of that. So long as you seek his face. One day, and one day very soon, you will have to look upon the face that as yet you have not seen. Have you decided what you're going to say? Have you imagined what he will see when your face and his come close together? In the Revelation, it's going to happen. And it is said, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." And God's going to wipe away your tears. You didn't want to meet him like this, did you? Will you be in fear? He will wipe away your tears. And in chapter 22 and verse 3 and 4, "There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face." The breaking of bread is an intimate experience where you and I come face to face with the Lord and with the glory of the Father.